Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Woo!
Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey, and sitting next to me, the wonderful Chasta.
Hey, hey.
And next to her, the amazing Bimbo Jimbo.
Let's get it going.
And a couple things. Both you guys, first off, Chasta, I acknowledged this earlier on the second shift, but you're looking very schnazzy.
Got your hair did.
I got my hair did. Now, the backstory is I was super duper sick last week, and today is the first, or last night was the first night I was like, I feel healthy again. I feel like myself. So Jay was at rehearsal. Cody was asleep. So I was like, I'm going to get girly. And so I rolled my hair up in rollers. And so that's why I look extra today.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. Now, how are you as far as someone when you're sick? Are you like a shutdown, leave me alone? I need, you know, like I'm an angry sick person, or how are you?
A little bit angry.
Or do you
because
need to be pampered?
No,
like
no,
me?
No. I'm not. Most guys do need to be pampered. No, yeah. I'm the guy, the girl that's like a little annoyed and like angry because I don't sit still well.
Mm-hmm.
And so to just sit in bed, even just to sit in bed and watch TV, like that's not my bag.
Yeah.
So I hate it. So I get very like anxiety, like all the things that I need to be doing that's not getting done.
So you're not a Netflix binge watcher?
No,
then.
I'm not.
She was just watching Cody with one eye open, right?
One eye down. Half the time. So I was sick Wednesday night through Sunday, really Monday morning, really till yesterday. But I was on Saturday, I was telling Huey, I was like laying on the ground in his room and I didn't want to get too close to him because I didn't want to get him sick. So I like had like one eye open on death's door just watching him play. And I was like, this may be the last thing I ever see. Well, it was really dramatic, but I survived.
Well, I'm glad you feel better.
So I'm back.
You look terrific.
Thank you. I'm feeling alive again.
And on a side note, Jimbo's attire today, I'm very impressed. So once again, I was going to say, once again, we're doing Facebook Live since this is our third week in a row. It's also our third week in a row of doing Facebook Live. So anyone listening to us live right now, how's it going? But also, if you're listening to this podcast at a later date and time, by all means, go back to the Bones Facebook page and check out the live broadcast. But so everyone listening, or excuse me, watching, Jimbo's wearing his purple, the Bobby Heenan
Bobby Heenan show.
I was going to say the show.
Yeah.
But yeah. But
the
Bobby
Heenan show for a short-lived period of time.
Which is very, I'm impressed with that.
Yeah. Passed away, was it yesterday?
Passed away on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Which was very sad news. Bobby Heenan, the greatest manager in the history of professional wrestling, one of the great color commentators as well, and just somebody that, me personally, I know I looked up to a lot, and he sort of helped shape my on-air delivery in terms of how he plays on words and just his sort of snappy one-liners and stuff like that. I mean, me and your brother, we go back and forth as Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon all the time. Like, some of our earlier stuff is just Tommy shaking his head, calling me Bobby Heenan. So, I mean, it was very sad. I mean, he definitely, he had a rough go for the last several years, though, battling throat cancer.
Was there an actual, they define what the cause was?
Yeah, so he'd been battling throat cancer for a long time. He had the jaw reconstructive surgery, too, and everything. Lost a lot of weight by the end, but very, very sad to hear of his passing, but very fortunate to have grown up with Bobby Heenan and just getting to enjoy him actually being at WrestleMania X7 and getting to see him make an entrance, you know, on the WWE stage. And he did color commentary for the Gimmick Battle Royal that night in Houston. So,
with Mean Gene that night.
Well,
I was going to say also, just for Jimbo and I, and anyone I think our age that are wrestling fans, you're right. We grew up with Bobby Heenan as far as the 80s when he was a manager and then transitioned into the color commentary role with WWF and then his time in WCW. So it's just for you and I, especially on Monday nights.
They want you to show the shirt.
Oh yeah, stand up, Jimbo.
Bobby Heenan show.
Yeah, there you go. In all of its glory.
In its resplendent purple glory.
It is. It's a beautiful
Bobby
purple.
Heenan and the Oinkettes, as he had on the Bobby Heenan show.
But you and I growing up on Mondays, I mean, going back his first time on the first, very first episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
It was a legendary performance because he kept trying to get into the building and no one would let him in.
I'll never forget him doing commentary during the infamous barbershop with Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. Just go do yourself a favor and watch it. And also, do yourself a favor and watch his Hall of Fame induction speech from 2004. I mean, he was fresh off his first bout with throat cancer, so it had altered his signature voice, but he still gave one of the greatest Hall of Fame speeches I've ever seen, and he brought the crowd to his feet. He was hilarious still. Like, there's this moment where he's talking to Harley Race, and he asked, how many world championships did you win? And Harley didn't answer. He said, Harley, wake up, or they'll start throwing dirt on you. So, like, he never lost sort of, like, ability to, you know, have that comedic timing and, yeah, and his energy and stuff like that. So, huge Bobby Heenan fan, and, lost another great one.
I know. It's really sad. Quick side note, watching that Hall of Fame speech, pretty amazing how far the Hall of Fame ceremony has grown. Because that back then, that was a little bit of a smaller room, and now they do it in arenas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I just kind of wish, it's unfortunate, like a man of his success couldn't get the same attention on the bigger scale. But it was still very cool. Don't get me wrong.
He got a standing ovation from his peers and everything like that. The whole crowd was chanting Bobby. So it was still, I mean, it was the right kind of event.
Yeah, yeah.
A side note to that, I remember when I was in Detroit for WrestleMania 23, I was able to get my WWE Hall of Fame ticket right there at the door, and I ended up sitting like a row behind where all the wrestlers were sitting and stuff like that, just by happenstance. Oh my God. And my buddy was up in the balcony here, and I just happened to end up like just right there, and it was awesome. That was when Mr. Perfect and Dusty Rhodes and JR and the King went in. It was a great class. So
very cool. So it just, for Jimbo and I specifically, it was very hard news hearing about the passing of Bobby the Brain Heenan. It's just he meant so much to us. But going back to even like Hogan and the formation of the NWO that night with him doing the commentary, but all the other stuff he did with Gorilla Monsoon. It's just legendary how many things he did for multiple decades. It was a big influence. And you're right. The quick wit and all that stuff. That's the one thing about wrestling we love about the athletes, but also just the characters and the personalities. And I think a lot of the great wrestling personalities, we try to apply a lot of that in our radio side of things.
Well, last thing I'll say about Bobby Heenan is that in that same speech, one of the people that was introducing him talked about his first night in the business and how he was given $3 to work this. You know, I think he worked like two or three matches, and he was given $3 total. Yeah. And Bobby then talked about, you know, why he stayed after only $3. It wasn't for the money. It wasn't for this, that, or the other. It was because he loved being a part of it. And I think that's a good lesson for anybody, no matter what you're part in. And I think we can all use that sort of reminder that you do it. You know, for us in radio, we do it because we love this industry.
It ain't for the money, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I was a little inspired going
that's
back
cool.
and rewatching that.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, you're hiding your shirt, so let's just make sure they get a good view. Everyone's saying this behind the mic stand. So there is it. It is in all of its glory.
Nice Rick Rude pose right there.
Remember the Heenan family?
Yeah. Which I love. It was a family. It was never like a stable. Stable for horses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It was all his guys were
humanoids.
Yes, exactly. So we're going to miss you, Bobby the Brain Heenan. Thank you for everything. So that's one thing, we wanted to really touch on. But very cool tribute Monday night at Raw down in San Jose.
SAP. You were there?
I was there. I felt so bad being there because Tommy and I were sitting there and Jimbo was not there because unfortunately Jimbo, we can talk about it.
I work nights now.
Yeah, you got different hours now. So we appreciate you being here bright and early for this podcast.
Yeah, you know.
But it was very cool with the tribute that they did. But pardon me, Tommy and we made sure to leave a seat open next to us because that was your seat.
My tribute night.
Oh,
I appreciate
your
that.
We should have cut out. We should have cut out your head and just hold it up.
That's hilarious.
But then it was also very fun. Last night we went to SmackDown Live at Oracle Arena.
You should have FaceTimed me and just put the phone in the seat.
Oh, you could totally done
idea.
That.
That's a great idea.
Just put me on like a little stick.
Oracle has free Wi-Fi in there. Very cool.
Yeah,
Tommy was on
state of the art.
I know,
bro.
Man.
I spent my nights.
It's all good. So it was a lot of fun. So thank you again to WWE, their entire staff, for taking care of us this week. But I don't feel so bad. Jimbo's going to be in LA this weekend at the pay per view. No Mercy.
I am
that
very
the bigger
excited.
Version of what you saw?
It's Raw's exclusive pay per view for this month, so it's definitely, I think, all the big matches come to a head that night. So he's get to see
the TV version.
So he's get to see how the storylines kind of play out that night.
Gotcha.
So I'm don't feel jealous. Or I don't feel so bad that he missed
he
this
week.
He was
feeling pretty guilty, actually.
I was
Were
feeling
you?
Guilty. I was
You're
feeling
bromance. Guilty.
Your bromance is alive and well.
Baby
we'll
Hugh, I appreciate the fact that you feel guilt, but you don't need to feel guilty. I do wish I was there with you, as always. And, you know.
Yes.
So I wish you were here coming with me to L.A. this weekend.
I know.
But I'm totally feeling like the third wheel right now.
Well, it's not into wrestling, Miss Chastelin.
Oh, by the way, can I talk about this real quick?
What?
Tony Ryan yesterday.
Oh,
Can I?
Go for it.
Well, it's out there now.
No, honestly, Jimbo, I wish you were here. So, well, you've dealt with it. So, okay, we have a coworker here, a guy named Tony Ryan, which
he's
a little back.
Tinelli's nephew.
So Tinelli has family that works in the building. So he's the production guy, creative director for KNBR, our sister station.
Yeah.
And, you know, for as long as we've known him, he always makes fun of Jimbo and I for our love for wrestling. And he says,
sweaty man and
yeah,
spandex.
All that stuff.
All this stuff.
So yesterday I ran into him in the kitchen. And once again, he starts on the whole wrestling thing. I forgot how we got on it. But and then Jasta reveals she sides with Tony.
Here's what Tony was saying.
You know where this comes from, Jasta?
I know. The click check. I get it. So for everyone listening and watching on Facebook, here's the thing. He was saying that there is a homoerotic vibe to wrestling, the wrestling that you guys like. Mm. Is that really up for debate?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? You see no homoerotic vibe whatsoever.
I mean, if that's where your mind takes you, that's between you and whatever god you pray to, Chasta. I mean,
that's why I needed Jimbo. That's why I said I'm zipping my mouth because Jimbo is my Paul Heyman and would defend me.
He did say this. Yeah.
I mean, if that's where your mind goes, why does it so like? It's like the same people that watch Lord of the Rings, like, oh, Frodo and Sam, it was so homoerotic. Why? Why are we afraid of people being friends?
No. Hold up. Frodo and Sam didn't have oiled bodies and spandex, so I think that is like
a
totally.
Dirty.
They kiss.
But
And I had, you know, I didn't read anything into that.
In places like in Morocco, when I traveled in Morocco, guys hold hands. Like, actually, you'll see a ton, and they're not gay, but that's like, you guys would hold hands walking down the street. That's totally normal in Middle Eastern culture.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with guys having relationships or hugging or any of that. But when you add oil bodies and, like, overexposed egos and all of that, I do think there is a homoerotic nature to it.
It's pseudo sport. It's being presented as athletic competition, so
right.
they are presented in an athletic form, and a lot of that is the
oil.
In wrestling, yes.
I thought of it afterwards after I left the kitchen. Tony, he was a big baseball guy. You know, they slap each other on the butt, say good game.
To my credit, I agree with you.
Okay.
Because I see it in all sports. Like,
yeah.
I think,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I think, like, the over-masculine, like, over-the-topness of sports has that underlying theme, the slapping on the butts on the football field. I mean, all of it, what happens in the locker room. Like, there's a lot of, like, there's question marks there. So it's not just
wrestling. No, okay. Well, I appreciate that clarification.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, I think that's, if you want to read into it and find that.
Yeah, then it's on me.
That's on you, brothers and sisters.
It's on me and Tony. Tony
yes,
and
exactly.
I are lone wolves in this. All
yeah.
right.
I mean, Tony went to Sarah.
In this room, I'm definitely I'm the odd girl out for sure.
So, but nonetheless, let us know if you're listening right now or watching
on Facebook. Interact.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me? Homoeroticness in you guys? It might not be happy that I'm asking this question, but I want to hear.
I've run from nothing. I'm comfortable with who I am.
Me too. I know.
The words of Shawn Michaels, just because I choose to live my life openly and freely does not make Tony the better man. You are a zero, my hero.
Ah, my God, I love you. This is why we needed him in the room, for sure.
I know.
Crush Tony Ryan, that Tom Brady Stockholm Syndrome Patriots fan.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny. So let's go ahead and jump into our goofy news stories for this week. As you know, for anyone new to the podcast, we like to talk about just all the weird stuff that we find out online. So other news with the other guys. So first things first, Jasta, this is something we talked about this morning with Lamont and Tinelli. Jimbo, I think you were tagged in this post or you might have posted yourself.
Yes, I always say Jeff tagged me in this.
Yes,
story.
That's what
yes,
it's Jeff. Yes. Yeah, yeah. So as you may or may not know, in Colorado, it's Colorado Springs, I believe, that's where the story takes place. There's some crazy woman who likes to poop on someone's front yard, which is very very disturbing.
Shameful.
Yeah. So, Chasta, we talked about this morning. So, there's this family who saw this woman jogging by And actually, the little kids saw she was running towards the park and decided to go on the lawn and take a big dump, wiped herself with some paper towels. And the kids saw it, and they're like, and the lady says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to," or some like weird excuse apology,
yeah,
and continues on her way to the park. And they thought, okay, maybe it was just a weird one-time thing.
Right.
Come to find out, a short time later, she did it again.
She's the mad crapper.
Absolutely.
Literally.
And then so she went to the news report, and then they did a news story on it. And then come to find out, there's been sightings of this woman at other parts of the city. So it's really crazy. So I just want to ask you guys, is this woman just crazy herself, or is she trying to do revenge on this family? The family doesn't know who she is. They got some photos, and they posted it online, but yeah. I don't get it. Like, what's this woman's case? She couldn't hold it to the porta potties at the park?
This is going to be way TMI. And I am really spilling some stuff here.
Deep, deep dirt.
I am. On myself. But here's the thing. I'm the runner in the group. And so when you run, if I run over 4 miles, my tummy gets kind of grumbly.
Gets things moving.
It does. It does get things moving.
Constantly,
I mean, you're
shaking.
Yeah, because you're constantly like shaking. That's why along race routes you see
and
a lot of
port.
Yeah, exactly. You got this. I have lots of fiber in my diet. But you see a lot of porta potties. You'll see it bridge to bridge. Like, there's a lot of porta potties because this happens. And so I've had moments where I have like really had to go, and I was like literally sweating, not because I was hot, but because I was like, oh my God, I have to find a bathroom. In fact, in Pacifica, where I run in the back of the valley, there is a park bathroom, and I've hit that a few times.
Okay.
With like, dear God, help me. And like, I'm not kidding. I told you TMI. So I understand the need of like an emergency bathroom when you're a runner.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's like ready with paper towels and she's doing it every day, honey, you got like IBS or something. You need to go to the doctor.
And this is, it sounds like it's very planned.
It totally does.
Well,
like, trust me, when I have to run to the bathroom, I'm not planning it out. It's really embarrassing.
And she didn't pick it up.
This is for Facebook. Well, I mean, you're like running with your butt together, right? Like,
yeah.
they're like, oh my God. Like, you're pinching as hard as you possibly can, but.
Squeeze those batissimos.
Sometimes, you know, what does he say? A turtle head?
Yeah, prairie dogging or.
Thank God I've never had that. I've never gone that far. But, I mean, it's a scary moment. So there's part of me that feels sorry for the mad crapper.
So just by luck, it's just been like twice at this one location.
I don't know about that.
Listen, I agree with Chasta that I have pity if it's an emergency and stuff like that, because I think we've all been there where it's like, you know.
Have you had to ever like take an unwanted number two somewhere?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And it's horrifying. Because
I was with you were with me one time because, when I had a bad incident.
Well, me personally, I don't like public restrooms. Mm-mm. I don't like common room restrooms.
I could go anywhere.
I found a restroom in our building here that's like Xanadu. Almost nobody works up there. Almost nobody goes in there. And I'm not going to tell either one of these two what floor it is. I'll tell you. But,
okay.
But it's, you know, because I try and avoid it whenever and wherever possible.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I just don't, I prefer my home field advantage. I just don't like it.
I love
it.
Your home
and,
field too.
And yeah, I know you do.
And
I also don't like it because when you have coworkers, you get those weird ones that like want to talk and stuff during that. To me,
or
it's
text,
like, dude,
it's like,
yeah,
you
or text,
did.
Like you're texting
we
me, my
texting
phone's vibrating in my pocket. Don't get it twisted. We were not texting each other.
You
were texting me.
You're,
I responded as I walked in and then radio silence.
Okay, it was two weeks ago, you know, before the podcast.
You were dying to get this story out, so now I think feel like
he
this is why you brought
dying.
The, you were just dying.
All right,
I
so
had to go. I had to go to the bathroom and, you know, take care of business, and sure enough, I noticed the shoes next to me look very familiar.
Oh, my God, you're that coworker
you're
that looks at
man.
The shoes.
So
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to start texting him, because literally, if you think about it, if you take away the walls, there's only maybe a foot in between us. We're both sitting there with pants around our ankles.
I don't look at shoes. I try and imagine I'm in the Himalayas and just like in a very isolated place.
But that's what I'm saying. So when I saw this, I'm like, wow, Jimbo and I are getting very close right now.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, this is a really bonding moment right here. I was like, we got to cherish this and value this
again
moment.
Again with the bromance.
So I was like, I'm going to start texting you because, yeah, it'd be weird if we were just start talking.
But
like,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
no, that's
texting
weird.
Isn't weird.
But back to this woman, though. It sounds premeditated, at least that she's going back to the same one person's lawn. Remind me of that movie, The Burbs, which is an underrated Tom Hanks film. But
yeah.
But
yeah,
Bruce
yeah.
Dern steals the show
movie.
In that. And there's this dog, this little frou-frou dog that keeps crapping on his lawn. In the very beginning of the movie, he runs over to the old neighbor's house. He's like, I find one more on my lawn, I'm going to catch him and staple his ass shut. And that's I think, how they must feel about this woman.
Probably so. The mad crapper. By the way, we have a comment. Doug, I'm a truck driver, and he's had to go on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere on Highway 395.
Wait, that reminds me. I was with Smelly.
Vegas.
So I was with Smelly. We were at the AVN Expo. And we were driving, actually, because we went to Dennis Hoff's Love Ranch South, because we wanted to see the room that Lamar Odom OD'd in. And so as we were, Smelly.
Lovely spot for a family vacation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Smelly did not want to take a poop at the brothel because he was afraid of stinking up and all the girls would then hate him. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you probably will never see these girls ever again. Who cares? Yeah. He was afraid the odor would linger through the halls. So we left, and he was driving, and he had to go. And literally, we got maybe like half a mile away. He pulled over the side of the road, and we're in the desert. Like, this is a desert where we think, you know, mobsters have laid bodies to rest.
Sure, out there.
He went and buried something else in the desert.
Exactly. So, literally. So Smelly jumped out of the car, ran behind it, and took a dump right there. And luckily, we had some napkins in the car from fast food earlier. And, yeah, he took care of business right there.
I can't believe I'm drinking a chocolate shake during this conversation is what's really shocking
to me. I can't believe how often this show devolves into this conversation.
Poo talk. I know.
Everyone does it.
It's real some talk. Type of fixation.
Real talk, everyone
Nobody
does
poops
it.
Except for you.
I just talked about poo running. No, girls don't poop. We're like unicorns.
It's true.
Magic.
I refuse to believe anything else. This story's fake news.
Fake news.
But, yeah, no, so it was just, unfortunately... Yeah, so we've all experienced it. I mean, yeah.
Not like that, though.
Yeah, no, this woman, yeah, it definitely sounds like, I would love to, like, they capture her and, like, interview her and, like, what's her reason?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, is this, like, these people don't know her, so maybe she has a weird, like,
they don't know her.
Phobia, or what do you call it, like, a weird fetish?
Do you remember, I'm not going to say his name because I could seriously get sued for slander, but I've told you privately, I think, and maybe even you, when Jay was rehearsing at Downtown Rehearsal in San Francisco, remember that? There was a singer of a very famous band that was in the rehearsal space next to him. This was in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And they called him the Mad Crapper because he would like crap in front of people's rehearsal spaces, like right in front of their door on the ground. Jay would see him do it.
Marking his territory.
I mean, seriously. And he's like a really famous person. And it was just something he thought was hilarious. So, I mean, some people just have
maybe this woman's like trying to live her life as a dog or something like that. And like, that's just really, she really likes that spot.
I guess. I don't know.
I was so confused. Like, this situation really mind-boggling. Like, I want some like a resolution with the end of this. I want to know.
We'll give you an update to the Mad Crapper story if we find
out.
I'm
sure there will be.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully. I want to know. So, yeah.
Bring her to justice. I can't believe she's comfortable doing that. To a point, it's like, I don't even like using restrooms here at work.
Oh, my God.
How is she comfortable doing it outside on the reg?
I've had to use a park bathroom to do that, and it is not. It's not pleasant.
No, it's not.
Like, one time I was walking to our parking lot, and you know that one homeless guy that sleeps on the street? I saw him pooping once under a tree right there as we walk up. And this is like 2 p.m.
This isn't the same guy I buy coffee for all the time, is it?
No, okay. Not that guy.
I was going to say, oh, my God. Okay, different homeless
different
guy.
Different guy.
Okay, got it. He's like the crackhead homeless guy.
But he's the one that yells out loud a lot during
that
the day.
One. Yeah.
But he was using newspapers, wiping himself. And I was like, oh, my God. I put my head down and kept walking.
Did you really? Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
So, yeah, very crazy. So another story that I saw that really was interesting, I would love to get you guys' perspective, is, okay, before we answer this, let me ask you this. How many dates should a couple go out before they actually
do the deed,
go That's boom, what I was boom? Gonna say. I was going to say, what was on the old, was it Match, or the dating game, or? Was it?
Whoopee?
Yeah, Whoopee. Make Whoopee. I'm trying to think.
Make Whoopee.
So how many dates
Such
should.
Such a stupid term.
Would you stop? But how many dates should a couple go out before they actually, hook up?
This generation, I don't even think a date's required anymore.
I was just going to say that. Like, do people even do it like that anymore?
Like, are people sluttier now than they ever have been before, you think?
I mean, I would
like, with things like Tinder and all that stuff, I don't even think that rule applies. Like, I'm super old school. I've said it a few times on the podcast. I'm not a casual sex person. Never have been. I think it's awkward, and I have a weird issue with body fluids. And I just kind of a good girl. I can't do it. So it takes a while for me. But
okay, good. I mean, but is there a number in your head? How many dates?
I would say, like, at least 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about where I fall too. I mean, it's different for every person and how you feel about somebody and where it's
Absolutely.
Actually going and
yeah.
stuff like that.
You have
bad
chemistry. Maybe you pop off at two or three. I don't know. But
you know,
a couple to like get to know each other.
Make sure. Okay. Yeah, exactly. And it's different too. Like if you've, you know, like situations I found myself in where I've actually known the person already for
that
a long time. You know, it
difference.
Sort of changes the dynamic
right.
too.
Right.
But yeah, I don't have like a sort of a set number. I think it's all about the feel, you know,
okay.
I'm like, and I'm like you, I'm old school. I still think that it should be a momentous occasion and
yeah.
should be with somebody that you actually care about.
Should
it's not something,
something
to be thrown out willy nilly. Now
right.
I'm not above reproach in that regard, but in you know, in a perfect world, that's what it is.
Look
well,
at this
you know,
face over here, Huey is seriously
so
questioning you.
I will say, okay, so I think the old traditional number was 3 dates.
Mm.
However,
it still seems like that's
seems
low
bad.
For traditional.
But, I know.
Well,
I know.
Okay, but now
I feel like
let me
that's
say
the 70s if traditional
see-
number. You know?
Well, so a new study of 2,000 adults, U.S. adults, the 3-date rule could be a thing in the past. Now, a new poll has showed that the ideal number is 8 dates now.
It went up?
It went up.
So
okay,
now,
hold on. We have comments on this. And people are people laughing at me that I said 3 dates? So 3 months. Three months seems like a little long. A guy's probably not going to stick around for 3 months. I mean, that would be awesome, but I highly doubt it.
I don't really think, well.
3 months is a long time, don't you think, to wait?
So, well, but in a perfect world, is it really, though? If like, if you want it to be something important and not wasted on just some Johnny-come-lately and Johnny-go-lately?
I would
well,
like
one
be
date
ready.
A month?
No, but well, I'm not
talking
about
3 dates.
No,
I was thinking one date like a week. Like, every weekend you hang out with somebody. So more like a month, month and a half. That's where my brain was.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right?
I guess my whole thing is when I was younger.
Yeah.
Is that
not 3 nights in a row.
Is that,
right.
We hung out 3 nights in a row. Okay, we're ready.
No.
You don't sleep with anybody that's not like your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Absolutely, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why to me the 3 month number, if you're with them, you know, whatever. You know, if you've invested in them in terms of a relationship.
Right. Yeah, we're on the same page for sure. 8, though.
Yeah. So
you know why? Because people don't. We just.
I don't want to label it.
No, they don't connect. They don't get off their phones enough to have sex even. So maybe that's why the number has gone up.
Too busy posting a picture of food
on
Instagram. Yeah, and then like looking at the person in front of them and like admiring the meal in front of them.
Exactly right.
The potential meal they could have.
I will say. I mean, I think it's better to wait longer because my first one night stand. It's just horrifying.
See,
I don't know if I've told this story before.
No, but
I'll give the Reader's Digest version.
Oh, we need that.
Right afterward, lying there. And she deep, this is exactly how she said it, just goes, I love you.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Deathly serious.
Shut
as
up.
Serious as a heart attack. And I am, again, this
hey,
is,
first off,
I am
that's
good
a compliment.
Little Jimbo from the Shire. And I'm like, holy Lord, this is not supposed to go down like this. I just need a rebound. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, all I could think about was Wayne's World and Garth. And I just said, thank you. I literally said, thank you to this woman. And she ended up slapping me. And then she did it again.
Did she start out saying, can I be Frank?
No, can I still be Garth? But yeah, so that was terrifying
God.
To me. Yeah, she was crazy.
What?
So yeah.
Wow, did you do her again?
Yeah. Well, it's a whole long story. We'll get into that when we have more time.
We need to do that.
Jimbo's
on the next
like,
podcast.
Sure, yeah. I love
I
you.
I like
too.
You too.
I actually ran.
I bet you ran.
Oh yeah,
the girl
ran so
never,
far away.
But that does give a clue on what you're like in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? So,
ladies, at James Kincaid on Twitter.
Good for you.
So, but yeah, so it's really interesting, and there's a lot more to this. Oh, I wish I had more time to read up on the full.
One
story.
More comment before we wrap it up. Somebody made a really good point. Where was it? He said, "Gosh, I want to give you credit. I think it was Tim." He said, in our busy lives, 6 dates is probably like 3 months because it takes so long for people to like hang out and get together and all that. So
it's no, that's
along
true.
Your lines, I think you might be right.
Oh, absolutely. Like for me personally, you would not believe how many times I try to like make plans with people and it always falls through.
I know,
that's why
busy.
Jimbo's always my go-to date now.
Know,
Jimbo's
now
always available for me.
I understand the bromance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
Joe. I don't know what I was
going to say.
Who's Joe Man? I was saying Jimbo.
Jobin. Oh my
Did you say
God.
Jobin?
I don't know where that came from. I was saying Jimbo's my man.
Jobin.
Jimbo's my man.
Like, as friends.
Yes, right.
He's always there for me.
Nothing homoerotic and nothing, about this moment.
And even if there was, nothing wrong with that
That's
either.
Right. But, that is
so,
true. That
there's
is
a
true.
Lot more to this story. If I have more time, I would definitely read up on it. But yeah.
Can we revisit more of those as opposed to more, like less of us, like, end up going to the bathroom? Like, this is my nightmare. You know, I try and keep that, you know, very private.
It's true.
Well, it's just amazing in
more
the study.
More sex talk, less poos talk.
Well, yeah, it's amazing in the study that people, like, take things more slowly than you think.
That's good, though. That's great. We're headed in the right direction.
Well, apparently, also
I don't
on this,
believe it.
On this study, either. Apparently, people feel comfortable hooking up after date five. Like, after that point
That's
on.
That's what I said, five dates.
Is where they kind of start feeling things ready to go.
Totally.
So I think if you start feeling someone out, yeah, that's...
I think it all comes down to...
How you meet the person.
How soon you're willing to label it.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Are we a thing?
Yeah.
I remember those conversations. Do people have those conversations anymore? I feel so old in these moments because I've been married
forever. Oh, quick side note, not to get off sidetrack, but feeling old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I mean, this kind of opened up the fourth wall here at the radio station. So, you know, talking to some coworkers here, and I've been meaning to put this maybe on Facebook or Twitter. I feel like the old guy at the station now.
I know. I have that moment too.
Quick
especially
side note,
with the
not,
digital department.
Not to get off track, but like talking to coworkers down the hall, like our promo department, you know, because where the office is, our office is right outside the promotion department. And so a lot of the younger people who have like those, you know, entry level part time jobs come in and sit. You know, they talk about stuff, and I try to chime in on the conversation, and I don't understand, like, some of the references they're making or the people they're talking about, or even I'll try to say, hey, what about this band? And they're like, who? They don't know any of the bands that I'm into.
Huey's out there asking people to go to the sock hop.
And make whoopee.
It's so old, Huey.
Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, I feel like the old guy now. Like, seriously. Honestly, when I started here, like,
broken
I was
down,
the young guy. Yeah.
Used up. Obsolete.
You're not helping.
Sorry.
Well, it's true. Like, a lot of our, like, interns or the promotions department, even the digital department, those people are in their early to mid-20s, some late-20s. I mean, that was a minute ago for us. Not a long time ago, but there is some differences. That scares me because you're Mr. Pop Culture. You're like all up in the pop culture. So if you don't know what they're talking about,
I know.
I would be scared.
So yeah, I was just a little bum. Like I just sat, I sat back down, like put my head down. I'm like, I'm the old guy now.
It
like so,
to
I
the best
felt
of
so outdated. Just like talking to them, like yeah, referencing stuff. They don't know anything.
It's over, man.
I know.
You had a good run.
I did. But like, I'm aware.
It's time to work on your golf game.
But I was worried about making certain jokes because then I sound like the creepy older dude. Like,
you would be.
Some of the jokes that we might make, like, I can't do in front of them. They'd be
it's
like,
not helping that you're like snapping right now.
Hey, toots.
I'm Quagmire back there.
Oh my God. That is so funny.
But yeah.
Sad.
I know. It's very sad.
Oh,
well,
my God.
Unfortunately, on that note, we do have to wrap things up because, as you may or may not notice, we started recording a little bit earlier today because we're being good coworkers.
Yes,
and
we are. We're sharing space.
People from our sister station need to jump in the studio.
Coworkers were late.
Yeah, I know. We are.
We're not being good at all.
Yeah.
Lamont's about to walk in. Don't tell him. Hi.
Hey.
What's that?
I was resting.
Oh, I didn't get to go because I was working. I didn't get to go.
We're on Facebook Live, so be careful what you're saying.
I wasn't going to tell you. That's
all those horrible things you were going to say.
Lamont's is great. Hold on. I got to ask. So you sat at home and dressed up like Bailey?
I sat at work and dressed up like her. Very sad. Very sad. Lamont, very sad.
That's funny. Okay. I wasn't going to tell him that we were on Facebook Live, but then I thought, no, he might say something really incriminating.
A horrible offense.
Yeah. I should.
And we
I should
can't delete. Delete.
Can't delete.
Delete.
No,
can't
editing.
Unring that bell.
Yeah. I'm glad we told him.
So on that note, we'll wrap up today's edition of the Other Guys podcast. Chasta, anything you want to plug, promote?
Just listen to me every day, 10 to 3, here on 107.7 The Bone. Right now, we are all about Cash and Cabo. We are talking Sammy Hagar to death. His birthday party on October 14th. I'll never forget it for the rest of my life.
Yes. Where were you on this moment when Sammy turned 70?
Seriously. So every day at noon o'clock, I give out a secret word for you guys to pick up $107 and get maybe to Mexico to Sammy's party. So that is a biggie. But if you want to find me online, it's Instagram is Chasta Lynn, Twitter is Chasta, and Facebook is Chasta Radio.
Jimbo?
Bimbo.Jimbo on Instagram.
Latest.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's a public profile, so you can just find me very easily.
With your dog?
I try and respond to all the scores of you that just message me all the time. At James Kincaid on Twitter. And Huey, we got some interviews to promote.
I know. So tomorrow.
With props. I'm impressed.
I know. We were ready. So tomorrow we're going to be doing an interview with Charlotte Flair, as you all know, the daughter of the legendary Ric Flair. Woo! So we're going to talk about their new book here. It's called Second Nature. So it's a book they did together. So we'll talk to Charlotte tomorrow, and we'll have that up on the Bones website by early afternoon as well. And then next week, oh, I'm so happy for this.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
We're talking to my all-time favorite wrestler, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Yeah.
So we'll be talking to him next Monday, and that'll be up on the website.
Are we doing a show next week?
Sure.
Okay.
Why?
Oh, then I'll save what else I have to plug and promote for next week.
You want to get an early start on it?
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. We'll talk about it next week, yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay, I'm trying to think what it is. anything else, Jimbo, you want to plug?
Nah, that'll do it.
Okay, follow me on Facebook at Baby Huey Official, Twitter and Instagram at Baby Huey 83. For everything else, including our podcast, 1077thebone.com, iTunes and Stitcher, just search 1077 The Bone. Have an awesome week, and we'll catch you next time. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Other Guys Podcast. Be sure to follow The Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/The Other Guys Podcast. Instagram @The Other Guys Podcast. And Twitter @TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com. for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Party on, dudes!